following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome, everyone, to our Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast alongside Tom Silverstein. I am Olivia Reiner. Let's set the scene for all of you. It is Sunday night following the Packers' loss in the NFC Championship game, 31-26 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Tom and I are here to recap everything in the bowels of Lambeau Field. I'm in the bowels, I should say. I'm in the office, the Packers news office at Lambeau. Tom up in the coach's box, and we're gonna chat about everything. The game that pretty much put the Packers Super Bowl dreams to bed for the second straight year in the NFC Championship game. So we'll get into all that stuff shortly. But Tom, wanted to chat with you first. The Packers have been looking to have one of these NFC Championship games at home for a very long time. They haven't had a home NFC Championship game since 2007. Finally, after years and years of Aaron Rodgers and so many other Packers players saying, you know, if only we could have one of these games at home, maybe the outcome would be different. And here was this opportunity to finally have one of those games at home. And unfortunately for the Packers, it ends in another loss. How did the Packers reconcile this game with some of the other NFC Championship games of the past?
Well, let me say that home field advantage is definitely what you want. I mean, it puts you in the most comfortable position. But Tampa just won three games on the road. The Packers, when they went to the Super Bowl, won three games in a row. The New York Giants won three games in a row on the road. I think ultimately, if you're the best team, you're going to win. And it doesn't matter where you are, you're going to win. And, I think the Packers were probably the best team when they played Seattle and lost there. And that was probably a situation where maybe home field advantage helped. But in this year with not that many fans and the weather's been pretty mild, home field advantage didn't seem like that big a deal to me. It was just a matter of comfort. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't try to get it every year, but I just had a feeling this year that it wasn't, it just wasn't going to be everything it had been in other situations. And Tampa, I think, was just a better team. And so there was nothing that was going to sway that here.
There's a lot of different places that we could start when looking back at this game and dissecting it. I want to start with the fact that the Packers carried the ball 16 times for 67 yards. Aaron Jones was hurt fairly early in the game. He had a couple of fumbles. A tough night for him, but a tough night for the offense as a whole, really. Matt LaFleur said after the game that they kind of got away from their game plan. And I'm pretty sure leading up to this game and in the podcast that we've done in the past week, I've run out of how many times we talk, Tom, because I feel like we talk every single day. But I think one of the things you said was that the Packers can't get away from their game plan. They have to stick to the run. And that's pretty much the exact opposite of what they did. When cornerback Jaire Alexander picked off the ball twice and the Packers had an opportunity to drive down the field and put some points on the board, they weren't able to do it at all. And they went three and out twice, and all six of those plays were passing plays. Why couldn't the Packers run the ball a little bit more frequently tonight?
Well, part of it is we never know whether Aaron Rodgers changes the plays at the line of scrimmage. So it's possible that could have happened, that maybe they were run calls and he didn't like the look and he changed it. I know on one of those plays, they tried a deep shot to Davante Adams. Another short one to Jamal Williams was effectively a run. But yeah, they sort of got out of their comfort zone in the fourth quarter, I guess, because, it was 28-23 when they had those two drives. So it wasn't like they absolutely were in a hurry to get down the field. I think that is something we'll have to look closer at, and I'm sure Matt LaFleur will. But I kind of thought in the fourth quarter, Tampa's defense was starting to wear down a little bit. And, you know, it also could be that both of Tampa's safeties were out of the game and they wanted to try to take advantage of that. So that could have been part of it as well.
Let's stay in that fourth quarter. One of the most controversial plays of the game, or I should say perhaps the most controversial call from LaFleur, was the decision to kick a field goal on fourth down. The Packers are in the red zone. They are at the 8-yard line, and they draw up three passing plays on first and goal, second goal, third and goal. Sounds like Aaron Rodgers had the liberty of making the call on the third down play. And ultimately, after the Packers are unsuccessful in getting into the end zone, LaFleur decides to kick a field goal. The Packers are down 8. Field goal is good. And essentially, LaFleur is relying on the defense. He has the confidence in the defense, in defensive coordinator Mike Pettine, to get a stop on the next drive and get the ball back into the hands of quarterback Aaron Rodgers. What was your impression of that call in the moment?
Well, in the moment, I was surprised. I had to think about it for a minute. And I really actually didn't, my mind didn't change until much later. So I couldn't figure out why you would be kick a field goal there and be 5 points behind. Why wouldn't you go for it? And in a sense, I sort of understood later what he was doing. And part of it was he was being aggressive. He was saying, I want to win. I don't want to just tie it, because if we tie it, Tom Brady comes back and, you know, all he's done in his career is 2-minute drives to win games. So let's see if we can get Tampa to play it kind of conservatively, which they did, and stop them. You know, 3 of the last 4 possessions had been interceptions. And the other one was a short field goal drive. Well, it wasn't short. It was, 44 yards. So he was thinking that it was possible to slow them down. The part that I don't have a quarrel with is everyone's assuming they would have scored on 4th and 8 and gotten the 2-point conversion, which is not necessarily true. I kind of think that, you know, if they had a really good play on 4th and 8, but they had stunk on the first 3 plays, I mean, they had done nothing. And so I don't know what, I asked Rodgers whether he had a 4th down play in mind, and he really didn't say he did. I kind of got, at that point, they just seemed like they were not in a comfortable position. So maybe in the end, it didn't work. So like LaFleur said, it's the wrong decision. But I see what he was doing.
And Rodgers said the same. I shouldn't say he said the same thing. He understood the logic behind the decision. But at the end of the day, Rodgers didn't have a say in the call. And he was thinking that, okay, we're going to go for it. And by we, I mean the Packers. The Packers are going to go for it. And he was going to lead the offense on 4th down to some whatever, but he didn't even have that opportunity. And the field goal unit was sent on, and the rest is history, I suppose. What should have been different in terms of the communication between Rodgers and LaFleur? Rodgers wasn't expecting the field goal unit to come out on 4th down. How in the future can they communicate better?
Well, the only thing they could have done was burn a timeout there. And they had 3, and they could have said, let's call timeout and let's talk about what we like. You know, if do you have a play that you really like? Now, it would have, you know, part of the reason he kicked is because he had essentially 4 timeouts. He had the 2-minute warning and he had 3 timeouts. So he was thinking, okay, that's good. But maybe they should have called a timeout, went to the bench, talked it over, and come up with a play that they really liked, and then run it on 4th and 8. but they didn't seem to be on the same page because Rodgers changed the play on third down. And, you know, really, LaFleur's plan sort of worked if you take away the pass interference on Kevin King. Because on third and four, so, and I'm not saying it was a good call or a bad call. It was pass interference. It's just in relation to how some of the other calls were made. Let's say that that call isn't made. Tampa has to punt with a little over a minute. Well, no, the Packers would have called a timeout. And so they would have got the ball back with a minute 40 with a chance to win. So if you think about it, it was the right decision. It probably was the right decision. It just came down to a penalty.
There's a lot of what ifs. And, you know, I wrote about this in my story today after the game. I was pretty critical. I stated what happened, and LaFleur was plenty critical of himself, of the call in hindsight. But there's a lot of what ifs in this game. And the DPI is certainly one of them. And fans have a right. Everyone has a right. LaFleur and Rodgers were pissed off about the call. And in theory, in a textbook, is that DPI? Yeah. But if you're not going to call it all night, why call it then? And I think there were some other plays that Packers fans weren't so happy with the referees about, going on social media after the game, once I have sort of a chance to get my head above water after the game, seeing that, seeing what's going on in the discourse that is being had. It looked like fans might have wanted a holding call on Sean Murphy bunting on what would ultimately become an interception. He picked off Aaron Rodgers, and it looked like he was holding Lazard in the replay. When there are games like this where some of the calls are not great, but then again, there's also opportunities that the Packers had to shift the momentum and they didn't capitalize on them. If you're a fan, and fans can feel however, whatever way they want, anyone can feel any way they want. How do you reconcile those two things, Tom?
Well, I reconcile it in that it's a game officiated by human beings. And sometimes it's officiated poorly. Sometimes it's officiated inconsistently. I think it was a matter too of perception, because King grabbed the jersey and it was right in front of the official. He could see the jersey being tugged, being pulled away. And while it wasn't, that didn't affect the play all that much, it was really obvious. And that's part of what they're taught, is if it looks like a penalty, if it looks really obvious, then call it. You know, the Packers, even with that penalty, so that was first and 10, and then they have too many men on the field, you know? And so they give up 5 yards, and that all but gives Tampa a chance to get another first down, which is what they needed to secure the game. So they still could have got the ball back even with that penalty, and they didn't. So it's kind of, you know, one play, unless it was like that Rams Saints play, you know, in the championship game in New Orleans. It's what happens. It's humans.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we could continue to just push the dagger in deeper at this point. I mean, going back to the first half, looking at that, the Rodgers throws the interception, the one that we were just talking about, that looked like there may have been a holding call that did not happen. But Brady is able to move the offense down the field pretty quickly with not a lot of time left. And he gets a pass up to what's his name? Miller. Scotty Miller.
Scotty Miller.
On first and 10 at the 39, and totally got Kevin King just gets beat, and all of a sudden it's 21-10. How difficult was that to overcome for the Packers. I mean, score certainly, but just to get the wind knocked out of your sails that at that point in the game.
It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I mean, it should be 17-10 going into half, because they probably would have kicked a field goal. And actually, they were at the 39. That is not a gimme. So it showed a lot of guts by Tampa to go for it, and Brady threw a perfect pass. But Kevin King can't do that. I mean, you have to play for the deep ball. If it gets caught in front of you, then okay, so be it. You're giving up the field goal, but you can't give up a touchdown. And he just lost sight of where he was. And that play just killed him. You know, they could have got out of that with a field goal. And then, you know, even when they come out in the third quarter and Aaron Jones fumbles, it would have been 24-10, and that's not insurmountable.
And then another what-if moment earlier on that drive on third down, Will Redmond was in pretty good position make an interception. And then we wouldn't even be sitting here and talking about this. But again, it's just so many what-ifs, so many plays that were left out there on the field that the Packers had control. It was theirs to lose. We wouldn't be sitting here.
You know, and you can't blame Mike Patton for that one, for Will Redmond's drop. That changes the game. That completely changes the game. So there are just so many things that happen. But here's the thing. It's an NFC championship game. All kinds of crazy crap happens in NFC championship games. It's two good teams going against each other. And it usually comes down to the end. And the Packers had the ball at the end, not to win, but they could have forced overtime, or they could have gotten the ball back with a tie game, and they couldn't do it. And that's the bottom line. They had a chance, and they didn't do it.
So let's take a look at the post-game situation. So, of course, listen, this is Aaron Rodgers. This was his best chance at the Super Bowl since – you know, in a long time.
Since 14. I mean, they weren't in it last year, and they weren't in it in 2016. So yeah, almost seven years.
Six years. And he was clearly very upset, not just for himself and for his desire to win, but also for some of his teammates too. Like Mercedes Lewis, who knows what his future is going to look like after this season. For some of his teammates that have become free agents in 2021, like center Corey Linsley, Kevin King becomes a free agent, Aaron Jones. So there's a lot of uncertainty in his future, in the Packers as a whole, in their future. And he was very reflective about that after the game. And what did you make of what Rodgers had to say following the conclusion of the game, just about the uncertainty and needing to step away and reflect in the coming weeks?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I really didn't like the narrative all week about, I think I've mentioned this in our last one, about winning it for Rodgers. It wasn't really about him, but now it is. And I don't know if that's his fault or what, but after the game, he throws out some doubt about whether he'll be back next year. And I don't know if he was saying the Packers won't have him back, or he's going to retire. Maybe he's going to do a Brett Favre. I don't know. I try not to read between the lines with him, because he tends to send a lot of subliminal messages that you can just drive yourself crazy trying to figure out. And so I don't know. In some ways now he's got the crowd that's saying, no, he can't go, he can't go. Well, no one is saying he's going. I didn't hear the Packers say that. Their interest in Jordan Love has been long-term. You know, they've never said, you know, next year, this is the year, 2021 is the year he's going to be our quarterback. It's never been like that. So I don't know what to make of it, other than it happened 20 minutes after the game, or a half hour after the game. And you have to you have to take that into consideration too. People say things in the heat of the moment. That's why we talk to them right after the game, because you get really raw answers. And, you know, it will now spend the whole off season speculating about what's going to happen to Aaron Rodgers. And my feeling is that he'll be the quarterback next year.
You know, I'm looking back at the quote. Would it be helpful for me to read the full quote?
Yeah, you should.
Okay, so the full quote, it was the very last thing that he said to wrap up the press conference. And I believe the question was about how he moves forward from this loss. And he said that he didn't know. So I'll say it from, you know, first person being Aaron Rodgers here. I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys who may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. It's really, really tough, especially with there being only one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point, and that makes the finality of it all hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach. But I do appreciate you and all of the jobs that you've done this year. He's talking to the media now. I appreciate our interactions, appreciate the opportunity to share each week, and I'll always be thankful for this season. So I just want to point out here, it doesn't sound like he's talking about like himself in terms of uncertainty and change. It's very much about his teammates and the team, which is, of course, guys are on contracts. Those contracts expire, and there are a lot of contracts that expire at the end of the season. So there's certainly that element of it too, but we're also, you know, we've talked about this all season, and we talked about it a lot this week. Aaron Rodgers has been very reflective for whatever reason this entire season. And it's been really, you know, it's been nice to listen to him and talk about his perspective and the way he has changed his approach to life, stemming from this off season. And that has been a storyline. And we got to see that again after the game, but all of a sudden, instead of just, you know, this is Aaron Rodgers being reflective and appreciative and understanding of the moment and the fact that things are changing. And, you know, he's trying to be thankful and appreciative of what they did accomplish. And while also acknowledging the fact that things are going to change, all of a sudden it's now, oh, he must want out or he's gone. When right. In reality, it really just sounds like the same way he's been talking all season. At least that is what I take away from it. I did not hear, no, Aaron Rodgers wants out, or Aaron Rodgers thinks he's going to get traded or whatever. That wasn't what I heard, but I could be wrong. We could all be wrong.
I think you make an excellent, excellent point. I think you're right on with your assessment. He was, you know, rosters change on average 35%. 35% of the roster will be gone next year. So that's what he's talking about. They had a really nice chemistry this year. They had a great locker room. He's seen guys like Mercedes Lewis, you know, Jimmy Graham is an example. They're here one day and then they're gone and their opportunity is over. And I'm sure he was being reflective about that. And then he threw himself in there too, which, you know, maybe in some way he could have been just saying, hey, even I'm not guaranteed of coming back. But I think you put it in perspective. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. I don't know. I think I see social media losing it, but it's also, you're right, Tom, these comments have come immediately after the game. That they are what they are. I am hesitant to read too much into them right now, knowing that he's just coming off of one of the biggest losses of his career. And you know, he's got all these feelings and emotions right now. So, and to be fair, I don't really even think that what he said was very off the wall, you know, for him, for what, the way he's been talking all season, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's an easy thing to jump on, you know, but I agree. It's not, it's just, I don't know if it's going to be the story that a lot of people think it's going to be.
All right. So we've covered that. I guess we can move on now, but Also, yeah, looking at some of the things LaFleur said, clearly was very emotional when asked about some of the things that Rodgers said about the uncertainty of the future. LaFleur, his voice cracked a little bit, acknowledges that he absolutely wants Rodgers back, and that he's critical to the success of this team in the future. But LaFleur was also very quick to admit that he was not on his A game tonight, that he felt like he let down a lot of people. I guess, what do you make of the decision-making that LaFleur made in the NFC Championship loss?
Well, you know, he's getting blasted for one move, and everybody has those kind of moves. You know, you get paid to make those kind of moves, and sometimes you screw it up and sometimes you don't. And I still don't know if he really screwed it up. But they got outcoached. That's the bottom line. And he has to make some decisions. Now, sure, it was not a perfect game for him by any means, or his offensive staff, but he's got to figure out, he has to do what's best for the team. And that might mean making changes at special teams and at defensive coordinator. That's something he's going to have to mull over. And maybe there's something on the offensive staff he wants to change. But this was a blown opportunity, and he'll have to deal with that. And it's not easy.
I don't think I want to ask you for too many specifics now, because I know we're going to continue to have these conversations this week, this upcoming week, I should say, and in the weeks after that, after we finally get to hear from LaFleur post game and he's been able to digest everything and as moves start to happen. But after the NFC Championship game last year, the Packers did not make many moves to their coaching staff. I remember the day after the game, LaFleur being asked about Mike Pettine's future, and ultimately Mike Pettine stayed with the team. And I think the only change was defensive backs coach Jason Simmons left for Carolina. Was that the only change in the offseason, and Jerry Gray came on?
I believe so.
So that was the only change after the NFC Championship game last season. So this season, this time around, how dramatic do the Packers need to be in changing around their coaching staff on their own volition? I'm not talking about coaches going and taking better opportunities elsewhere.
Well, here's my philosophy on changing coaches. You better have someone in place or someone ready to replace it. Don't fire someone and then go, well, we need to go find someone. You better have someone in mind, because unless that person has just been terrible, you don't want to be left, you know, holding the bag. And there's a lot of movement going on right now. And honestly, I haven't done enough research, because I didn't really think Packers would be looking for a defensive coordinator. You know, they could elevate Jerry Gray. I've heard that it's a possibility he has some possibilities elsewhere. I haven't been able to nail that down, but it's pretty, it wouldn't be surprising. Maybe they have to consider that. I think LaFleur has to feel comfortable with Patton, that they're on the same page. He kind of let him know he didn't like the coverage that on the Kevin King touchdown. And he was pretty upset about that. I think you could tell from that. Maybe he is ready. I just know when you have disappointment like that, it's easy to make quick decisions. It's better to wait a week and think about it.
You mentioned the coverage on what ultimately would become a touchdown for the Buccaneers. There's that, and we should contrast that too with the fact that Matt LaFleur said after the game, the reason that he kicked the field goal, well, among other reasons, was that he was confident enough in the defense for them to come up with a stop to get the ball back in the offense's hands. So there is some confidence there in Pettine, in this defense, in the personnel. So, but yeah, you're right. There's both. You look at both things, take into consideration both things. And the reality is that, you know, we will never make that decision. It's not our decision to make. It's LaFleur's. And he will have to mull it over and take into account not only this game, but all of the other games this season.
Yeah. And they really have to take a look at special teams too. They had yet another play that it's unacceptable to have return of, what was it? Got out to the, I'm trying to find it.
So 39 yard return. I forget what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 38 yard return.
Is it in the third quarter?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm definitely not looking at the right thing right now.
43 yards. It was right after the touchdown to Devontae Adams. They come back and they get a 43 yarder. Now Brady ended up throwing an interception, so they got lucky, but that's the kind of momentum shift that, you know, they can't afford to do on special teams when they keep doing it.
Yeah. Well, lots of big decisions to mull over, perhaps big decisions coming. We will continue to mull over all of the stuff, everything from coaching to free agency. We are not getting into free agency tonight. It is so early. We're not getting into the draft. We got some work to do, but at the end of the day, yeah, we'll be here with all of you to continue to have these conversations and to look ahead into free agency and the draft. So make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com for all of your Packers coverage. Tom, is there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap up tonight?
Only that, you know, check in with us later in the week. I will have a chance to talk to Matt LaFleur and get a little bit more perspective on all of this. And if there are any changes, we'll know more about it. So just make sure we're going to keep this going for a little bit, and then we'll officially transition into the off season and we'll figure it out from there.
Man. I'm getting nostalgic and sentimental. I always get a little sentimental at the end of the season.
It is. It's really bizarre because it just ends. It's just over, just like that. And then, you know, you've been going day after day after day. Remember all those days we were getting tested at 9 in the morning? We were getting COVID tests and we were here every single day. And then all of a sudden it's over. See you later. You're not up here. You're not covering the team anymore. You're not talking to players or coaches. It's just a really odd way of transitioning.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate the feeling of just the season being over like that. And listen, it would pretty much just be over even if the outcome had been different, and it would just be over in 2 weeks, you know, but it is a weird feeling. But I'm grateful for the season, grateful for all of our listeners and viewers and readers, truly, everyone who consumes our stuff over on Packers News. I'll try to, why don't we wrap it up before I start blabbering now?
Well, yeah. And Nate, one thing I am totally looking forward to, hopefully, is training camp when I'm not wearing a mask. Let's all hold cross our fingers for that.
Yes, yes. Everyone, stay healthy, stay safe. For Tom Silverstein, I'm Olivia Reiner. We'll talk to you next time.